Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Isn't it fucking great when happy hour's actually happy?
It is.
It was a super losy week for Donald Trump. Losy McLoserton from Losertown.
Uh-huh.
Lot of losing.
He needs to go home on his loser bus.
Yeah. In both legally.
Yes.
And in 17 polls in a row now. So, although polls are bullshit, unless I like them, which I do lately. So, All right. So, that. And who better to talk to than legal dreamboat Tristan Snell?
He is dreamy.
And then also former GOP, who is now dreamy, future Democratic governor of the great state of Florida, David Jolly.
You know what? This is the week that you should be subscribing to the video Steph cast.
Oh yeah,
because
that was a lot of handsome.
There's a lot of good looking guys on this podcast today.
Yeah, and we talked about art with David Jolly, so you know he's really a liberal now.
Yes.
Anyway. It's a drink up and enjoy. Happy, happy hour.
Sometimes Louise and I just crave a restaurant-quality dinner at home without doing all the work or driving. Well, Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week. And it appears to be less expensive than other delivery options. Go to cookunity.com/Hartman, with two N's, or enter the code Hartman, the two N's, before checking out for 50% off your first week. We just received our first meals from Cook Unity, and what a huge difference it is to get the best chefs in the country to bring creative, delicious meals to us and you every week. Every meal is handcrafted by chefs and made in local micro kitchens, not large production facilities. We just had the Chipotle maple glazed salmon with green beans and mango pico de gallo. It had everything we love in a meal. They have all sorts of options like vegan, paleo, pescatarian, gluten-free, and more. Menus are posted 2 weeks in advance, so you have plenty of time to choose. Experience chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/Hartman, with two N's, or enter the code Hartman, with two N's, before checking out for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using the code Hartman or going to cookunity.com/Hartman.
Quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform, one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Miller. NetSuite.com/Miller. One more time, NetSuite.com/Miller. I know everyone wants you, but we're the only ones that jingle you, Tristan.
Right.
I just like So, I mean...
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for
glad
being
here.
Thanks for being... Yeah. I say all the time, I can't wait to talk to you again, because we've gone through yet another weekend of just, I don't know, numbing ourselves to Donald Trump's constant incitements of violence and nothing happening.
Yeah.
I mean, your thoughts on this latest, what amounts to a death threat to the sitting president.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's at some point there has to be a line and there have to be consequences. I mean, this is the sort of activity that this is not. Once you do something like this and once you condone something like this, you're not, that's not speech. That's actually an incitement to violence. And that is the sort of thing that, like I said, online, in normal times, this wouldn't even be a question. It would be like, if you're propagating imagery of the president of the United States being kidnapped, you would be reported to the FBI and the Secret Service.
Can I just ask it plainly? Where is the FBI? Where is the Secret Service? I mean,
I think they're so afraid of looking political that but the problem is that by not doing that, they are putting President Biden at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're allowing this virus and this cancer to continue to propagate in certain dark but increasingly visible circles in America. It's really a problem.
You know, I read Judge Luttig's tweet, which I'm sure you saw mm-hmm. this weekend too, Tristan. Yeah. And this, I was saying, you know, not again to engage in hyperbole, I literally opened the show this morning by saying it's starting to feel Hitler-y. Mm-hmm. Like our country seems frozen, Tristan, about what to do about this lunatic. As Judge Luttig said, our judicial system, our everything. It's not even just one person. It's like what?
Right.
Obviously, this for this to happen to this degree and him to get away with this lifetime of stuff, it's a lot of people that seem to be, afraid?
Yeah. I think they're afraid of standing up to him. I do. I think they're afraid of, and I think they're afraid of his supporters. I think they're afraid of looking too political. They're afraid of exhibiting any bias against them at all. But by leaning so hard to try to not be biased against him, they're being biased for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
That's
the problem the mainstream media has. That's the problem that a lot of law enforcement and judges have. But that's the thing. They're so afraid of like, we don't want to look like we're against him. They effectively end up being for him.
Yeah.
And so he has all of these people in these positions of power in the establishment that are really for him. They're backing him every day because they're afraid to look like they're against it.
And thank you for pointing out the misogyny. You said Trump targets women when he counterattacks. Fani Willis, Letitia James, E. Jean Carroll, Robbie Kaplan, Judge Chutkan, Judge Ngoren's law clerk, Judge Mershon's daughter. Misogyny is always one of his weapons of choice, and women will be the ones to take him down. I do believe that. I thought, isn't that true?
Yeah.
The first real consequences he's ever seen come courtesy of E. Jean Carroll, Robbie Kaplan, and now Letitia James, right?
Yeah. Yep, that's right. So the... look, and you can go back even further to, you know, when we did the Trump University case, all of my chiefs that I reported to, where we were the ones really working on the case, it was my bureau chief, Jane Azia, and it was my deputy bureau chief, Laura Levine, and it was my division chief, their boss, Carla Sanchez. They're the ones who made that case go, not Eric Schneider.
Yeah, yeah.
It was my boss's insistence that was not going to be a case that got dropped or swept under the rug that finally allowed that case to go forward. So you can go back even further. But at some point here, there have to be consequences. At some point, you know, you played that quote. At some point, it's got to be, bring your toothbrush.
Yeah.
Headed to Rikers.
Yeah.
Anybody else who threatened a judge's daughter would already have spent the weekend at Rikers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anybody, literally anybody else.
But we have to stop saying anybody that else. And do it. That's what I'm so tired of saying. Anyone
it.
Else, you
we
or
actually
I.
We have to do it.
I mean,
and I know that Judge Mershon maybe didn't want to be the one to do it because it was, and this was very calculated by Trump. He comes at the person and their family so that if they do anything, he can say, he's just being biased. And it's like, no, what should be happening here is the chief judge that Mershon reports to should be the one stepping in and saying, like, that's it. I'm issuing an order. Trump, you're going.
Yeah.
You threatened the judge's daughter. You cannot do that.
Yeah.
Look, at the very if you want to come on a little bit lighter at first, then you fine and that fine better have at least six figures in it. That needs to be $100,000 start and then that's your warning. That's all you get.
Yeah.
If it were me, be $100,000 for the first thing. Next thing is it's $1 million plus you're spending the night at Rikers.
Yeah. Speaking of women, you're right. I shouldn't read Twitter on April Fool's Day because someone's like, Merrick Garland has stepped down and Sally Yates is the new AG. Oh, sorry. My dogs are alarmed.
Yeah, no. No, and the dogs are like, Sally Yates, yay!
Yay! Barking. I was like, oh, April Fool.
They're all barking.
Retweeted Donald Trump, which must have made a little part of your soul die, so thank you. You said, he tweeted, the corrupt New York DA, Letitia Peekaboo James, can try to take my property with this rigged witch hunt, but they won't succeed. I've done a transfer of property, which means it's not in my name, so they can take it. So they can't take it to cover any bills they want Donald Trump to pay. I win. MAGA! You just said she's not the DA, she's the AG. Try reading a book or a newspaper sometimes. Your use of peekaboo is like George Allen's use of macaca. It's clearly a racial slur, even if it's an idiosyncratic one. Three, moving assets around violates the court's order. I mean, plus it's like he's eight. I win, MAGA.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, yeah. Well, so that one I actually don't even know. I actually took that down because it was unclear whether or not it was really his tweet.
Oh, okay.
Or his post. But you know what? It still ends up all being true.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I will stand by that. His use of peekaboo with Tish James,
please.
It's racist even if we can't really find it in like a racist dictionary. Just like macaca, this now dates me, but like Senator George Allen had to resign back when politicians could still have shame.
Yeah, right.
Republican
exactly.
Senator George Allen resigned because he called somebody a macaca.
Yeah,
I remember. You couldn't really go look it up in the dictionary to figure it out, although some people were trying to kind of like draw the line between what that was. But it was very obviously meant to be a racial slur, even if it was his own idiosyncratic one. And we really need to be treating Trump's peekaboo thing the same way.
So, Tristan, we were saying that, you know, we're all like, what last-minute thing is he going to pull now? I mean, we were talking about Jonathan Alsor saying there are no appeals. This thing is happening, you know, April 15th. What is your take on that?
Look, you can always file another motion. Like, the thing about motion practice is you can pretty much always file another motion. Now, past a certain point, the judge does not have to entertain them. But I do believe that we're probably going to see a flurry of other motions get filed. He'll probably file some sort of emergency motion to some other higher court to get them to stop the trial. I think that as the walls start to close in on him more here, he's going to get more and more desperate. I do see that.
And we would be able
2 weeks to go. And yeah,
we would be able to tell from the 77 tweets yesterday that it has gotten worse.
I mean, he's basically just having a meltdown live in front of all of us. That's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Is there a deadline for the bond payment? Someone tweeted in the New York fraud case. They said, when in my life did I ever think I need a spreadsheet to track the criminal prosecution of a former president?
I do need a spreadsheet. I need to figure this out. Let's see. Can we figure this out? When was that 7-day order thing? I was on TV that day.
Right.
That day was, I'd have to go back and look. Was it Monday?
It was Monday.
Put it this way. I think
it was Monday.
It was Monday. So it's today. So he has till today, or I guess maybe it's possibly tomorrow. But that $175 million, where is it?
Yeah.
He's not going to come up with that either. Like, where is it? He's
right.
Not going to come up with it.
And why did he get that big reduction? Like, none of us lay people understand how...
Look, I do believe, unfortunately, it showed that the appeals court, they kind of tipped their hand a little bit, where it showed that it is possible, and it often happens, that a large award will get squished down by an appeals court. Now, as I tried to reassure everybody then, and I will do again now, it doesn't mean it's going to get eliminated in all likelihood. And it usually don't see it get crushed by like 90%. It's not like all of a sudden that 464 is going to end up being down at like 40 million. However, to see it get dropped by 20 to 50%, possibly more, is not that unusual. I was kind of thinking we would end up down around 200 million after the appeals courts had their hand in there. And 175 is a little lower than I would want, but I do think that something around 200 million is where this is going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a catastrophic number for him. It should be higher because the calculation came from someplace. We just have to remember, every dollar he's being asked to repay now is a dollar he shouldn't have gotten from the banks in the first place.
Thank you. Thank you.
He lied to get them.
Thank
you. He lied to get those dollars, and now he has to pay them back. But why can't he? Because he spent them on his overly lavish lifestyle. Donald Trump lives beyond his means.
Yeah.
He always has.
Always. Alina Habba.
Bless you.
Thank you.
just made him giggle.
So she's talking about the Georgia case, and she said, we all know we only have one RICO situation, and that's what's happening with the Merrick Garland Biden administration.
What?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. Yes.
I feel like now they've made Fonnie Willis mad. Now she apparently is going full steam ahead. And
wait, that wasn't before from her wasn't mad?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay. No, that woman has passion. I respect the hell out of it. Like, and the thing is, like, yeah, look, they've come for her personally now.
Yeah.
They didn't succeed in toppling her. I don't believe, although who knows, I do. Look, it's possible that this sort of gobbled up Judge McAfee's attention enough that it did slow things down a bit. But I do believe that a lot of why this case is slow has nothing to do with the counterattacks on Willis. It has to do with how many defendants we have, how many counts there are. It's just a bigger case. Now, this is another one where walls closing in is going to create pressure that will result in things shooting out in different directions. Watch for more people to flip as we get closer to the trial date. I actually do believe there's a good chance that at some point here, and also, by the way, when Willis says, I'm not going to give a plea deal to Rudy, I think that's a tactic.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that, I think that if Rudy hands himself over, she's not going to say no. She'll take it.
Okay.
So I do believe, that some of these people are going to, are going to be much more likely to flip the closer we get to a trial date.
Before you go, what do we do about a problem like Judge Cannon? So I have three headlines. Trump tells Judge Cannon he's got scheduling conflicts now. Judge Cannon has a new way to hobble Mar-a-Lago documents case, according to ex-prosecutor. However, here's the hopeful one. Judge Cannon has given Jack Smith a fresh opening to seek her removal from the Trump case, according to another. What are the chances of her removal? Because it seems like she's not a very good judge, but she's smart enough to have skirted real reasons to be able to have her removed, right?
Yeah, at the very best, she is in over her head because this is a case with national security implications, and it's just not something that she's been trained in and versed in. The way that judges in D.C., because they handle these kind of issues all the time, they know how to handle these kind of cases when they pop up. There's plenty of judges in both the southern and eastern districts in New York, in Manhattan and Brooklyn, who know how to deal with like a terrorism case or some sort of counterintelligence case. It's just not something that comes up in a lot of other localities as much. That's the best case scenario for Cannon. Worst case is she's deliberately trying to delay this thing. I think it's very, very difficult to get a judge forcibly recused from a matter. I don't want to get people's hopes up that that's going to happen. I think the more likely upside scenario is that there are more appeals to the 11th Circuit that then kind of box her in a little bit, and then that the word really comes down from them that it's like, look, we have to remember, it's not just the defendant's interest in a speedy trial. The public has an interest in a speedy trial. It's a constitutional right in the public, and we the people need to be respected hopefully that's what happens.
That's what Liz Cheney just said as well. So, Tristan, Supreme Court, when will we get the immunity ruling, do you think?
I hate to say it. I don't know that we're going to get it until the end of the term. I think it's going to be at the end of June. I hate to say it, but we'll see.
All right.
Maybe we'll get it within about 3 weeks of that oral argument date. So it would be by like the middle of May. The good news is that DOJ has said, and we have to remember, this was the best piece of news we've gotten in any of these cases in the last month, is that the 60-day rule doesn't apply when someone's been indicted.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the Trump trials in the federal side can continue into September and October, which gives us more days to play with.
Yay. All right. Tristan, thank you so much. Oh, my God. I have like 3 more hours of things to talk to you about. Okay. See you next time.
Soon. We'll be back.
All right. Bye, Tristan. There he goes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, future Democratic governor of Florida. Here he is. Hi. Hi, David.
Stephanie, I love being with you, but I really come on for the jingle.
And I told you I loved you the first time I saw you on TV and all your Monets behind you, because Monet is my favorite artist. And then we started talking about art, and I'm like, you're totally a liberal now. Forget it. Going GOP. You said you replace.
How dare I like arts and culture, huh?
Right.
You said you're going to replace him with Van Goghs for the summer, and then I ran upstairs because I'm like, I have a Van Gogh in my living in my dining room, and I misidentified it as Starry Night when it is Cafe Terrace at night, and I apologize.
But there's a night sky and there are stars in that. And look, here's the most important thing. It's kind of like learning wine. I've got to share with you, I'm not an art person. I never understood it, never studied it. And it was during COVID. It just became a little passion project. So I'm thrilled to celebrate it. I've got a lot to learn about it.
Yeah. For instance, did you know Van Gogh wanted to be a singer, but he didn't have the ear for it?
Oh, man. That was a courtesy
David?
Laugh.
Yeah. Is David gone?
That was a courtesy laugh.
Listen, you were, you know, we were just talking about, you were saying during the break, you've been, you know, obviously the right wing lost its mind because Trans Visibility Day happened to fall on Easter and, you know, accused President Biden of disrespecting God or whatever. So talk to us about that and what it's like taking all these, like, you know, slings and arrows on social media all the time.
Yeah, look, what I anticipated to be a slower media weekend with some of my work with NBC and MSNBC turned out not to be. I mean, I really stepped into the fire and struck a nerve defending Joe Biden's relatively routine, honestly, from the White House recognition of Trans Visibility Day. But the right decided to make it their latest culture war. And I think it just has to be hit head on several fronts. First, theologically and doctrinally, I think the right is wrong when it comes to biblical theology. I think there are long ways from what would Jesus do, the bracelets they used to wear. The reality is Jesus is a loving God who would support the trans community and be proud of their bravery and the struggle that they have gone through for recognition and equity. I think it's politically stupid because they're reminding voters that they're really about marginalizing already marginalized communities. I think it's morally offensive because they manufactured this issue. This was not something that Biden created on Easter Sunday. But here's the bottom line, and I know these cultural conversations around transgenderism, they're relatively new, right? In terms of the push for social justice, they're still kind of figuring out the rules of the road. But here's the bottom line, and this is where what the right did becomes so glaringly painful. We know, you can immediately see, people who are trying to work in good faith towards greater inclusivity, greater equity, greater equality for all marginalized communities, including the trans community, and you can spot the bad faith actors. Yeah. And what we saw in Newt Gingrich and Marsha Blackburn and Mike Johnson and Donald Trump and the right writ large this weekend were a bunch of bad faith actors spewing bullcrap to the American people, and it's time to call it out. And Yeah, look, the blowback, I just received an email, I told you, calling me demonic for siding with transgender activists or transgendered activists this weekend.
And you know, David, it's been a second since Catholic school, but isn't the whole point of Easter Jesus died for all our sins? you know, in inclusivity. I mean, it's just as if he rolled the stone away and said, but not you trannies. Like, I don't understand what the right wing, you know, where all this just hatred and meanness comes from.
I know. Stephanie, can we go just a little deep on this one? Because I think second degree analysis on this issue is really important. Because, yes, the most deities, whatever your faith, the fundamental principle is love, right? A deity, a God who loves you, loves people, wants to provide for you and your eternal life. So that is true of the Christian faith as well. This notion, though, that this argument around transgenderism and whether or not to be inclusive or not, I think the second degree analysis becomes powerful because the right is engaging in calling out sin, right? They're actually suggesting that someone's sexual affiliation, sexual identity, that somehow they get to be the judge of whether or not it is proper and prudent and biblical. That in itself, I think we have to call out as well. Who is one person to call out another person's sexual orientation or sexual identity? It's flat wrong.
Yeah.
And but look, let's take it straight to politics. The Haley voter, the mythical Haley voter, that 6% of the country that's trying to decide if Donald Trump is still too much, this reminds them that Donald Trump is too much. They don't like the hatred and the vitriol coming from the right.
Well, I love the, you know, somebody tweeted the get your theology out of women's biology. Mm-hmm. You know, that your religion tells you what to do. It shouldn't tell me what to do, you know. And so it's interesting that the God Bless the USA Bible might have actually been too much for some former Trump voters. Like one of them cited it as, all right, I'm out, you know. I mean, him literally comparing himself to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And
he's
you know,
jealous. Donald Trump's jealous of Jesus.
Yes.
He's jealous of Jesus.
So this is a voter, a Florida voter, Joanna, in your state of Florida.
Hi, my name is Joanna. I live in Florida. Donald Trump kind of had this, like, let's get to work, let's get things going again kind of attitude. So, yeah, that really cemented my decision that Donald Trump was the right choice for 2016. I'm a veteran. I served 8 years in the Navy. And when I'm looking at somebody wanting to be the president, I want somebody who still can bow their head to God.
Yeah. So she's come to the light about Donald Trump. I just love that Trump wanted to get to work, who spent half the day, you know, watching TV and the other half in a golf cart. But okay. But, you know, I mean, I guess, David, who cares how people finally, you know, see Trump for who he is, you know, and it, obviously Joe Biden is the actual religious man, right?
That's right. That's right. And listen, you know, I use this term Haley voter. We've got to come up with another one. But it's a contemporary term to tell you there are these soft Republican, independent, persuadable voters that are available to Joe Biden. And so what pushes them in the direction of deciding this election? Look, for some, they'll go back to Trump for tax policy. We know that. Or they'll go on immigration policy, whatever it might be. But a high percentage of those people might be exactly like that caller who said in 16, I needed somebody to break the system, but I never trusted Donald Trump could fix it. Well, guess what? It's pretty well broken now. Joe Biden's been mending it back together. The idea of going back to, you know, Brutus in the China shop and Donald Trump to break things again doesn't make any sense to that caller. And I don't think it makes any sense to most of the Haley voters either.
Yeah. You know, David, she mentioned being a veteran, and I've been mentioning that we finally are getting dates from Arlington to inter my mom with my dad. And, you know, my dad, former Republican congressman, that's what triggers my daddy issues with
right.
you. but, you know, ran Woodbury-Goldwater in 64, and I'm trying to get my mind around any veteran, you know, voting for him that knows that he's called them suckers and losers. And I mean, my skin just crawls whenever I hear like Trump might get buried at Arlington. I would like to say over my dead body.
But the America First nationalist proclamations feed into kind of this, you know, this visceral masculine strength of the country, whatever it might be. I would suggest, though, that Donald Trump and Republicanism today is a representation of American weakness. And I don't even mean that when it comes to his willingness to undermine our own democratic institutions and pillory the Constitution. I mean it because he's projecting on the world stage weakness.
Yeah.
When you bow to Putin, when you give equity and credence to an axis of world powers that want to confront the United States' interest in the West, you know, that abandons this position of American strength that we've seen for generations and that Republicans like to assign to Ronald Reagan. Part of Ronald Reagan's ethos in Republicanism for the past 40 years was that America is so strong we can take on any enemy. Now Republicanism says, let's just give the world to Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
It's American weakness. And it's a charade what Donald Trump is selling veterans right now.
We mentioned the New York Times piece about, you know, Chinese and Russian, Chinese and Russians are getting involved in pro-Trump, you know, social media sites and all of that, that they, you know, they both obviously want Trump back because it hurts America. and it weakens us on the world stage and everything you just said. And I just, you know, should be a little tip off for you. When America's enemies really want someone to be president, that should be the guy you vote against, right?
Look, Donald Trump's for sale. What they know is if we can provide for Donald Trump's personal economic interests, for Trump enterprises, properties, investments around the globe, bail him out when he needs money the most, Donald Trump as president of the United States will give these nation states what they want. We saw it with Turkey when Turkey said, hey, Donald Trump, I know you've had an alliance with the Kurds now going back 25 years. We're going to go, you know, basically commit genocide on a specific Kurdish population, and you're going to look the other way. And he said, okay.
Yeah.
In the Middle East, what he did with Saudi Arabia, overriding the veto, a two-thirds veto of Congress to actually provide arms that were not in the interest of the U.S., he did that because he has a financial interest. It's clear he does. He's for sale. Donald Trump's for sale.
So I don't know if you saw the latest polling that Colin Allred has pulled even with Ted Cruz in Texas. We just had Debbie Marcus.
McCarcel Powell.
Debbie for Florida.
Yeah. You can jump to Powell. Debbie Powell.
There you go. Debbie for Florida. Yes. We just had her on last week. She's fantastic. Yeah. You know, and she just, I just got an email from her. She said Florida Supreme Court rules to keep abortion rights on the ballot this November, giving voters a chance to overturn the GOP's extreme new 6-week abortion ban. First of all, I don't understand Rick Scott. whole how he's ever gotten elected, the whole Medicare fraud that, you know, anyway, talk about that race a little bit in Florida in general.
Sure. Listen, big, big news for Florida Democrats and Debbie Powell. Really, I really mean this. So Rick Scott, go back 2 years, Ron DeSantis wins by 19 points. There's an open question. Has Florida gone away from Democrats for good?
Yeah.
This cycle, though, will tell us that, because Rick Scott has never won by more than 1 point. So do we see a Rick Scott win by 8 points? Then the answer is yes, it's a red state. Do we see it return to the mean, to 1 to 2 points? If so, then Florida Democrats can play in this cycle and in future cycles. And here's why yesterday's decision really helps this. So Ron DeSantis passed a 15-week ban early on in his administration. And when he decided to run for president, he was getting dinged that wasn't aggressive enough. So he runs back to Tallahassee from Iowa and signs a 6-week ban. Right. It gets challenged in court. Yesterday, the Florida Supreme Court upheld the 6-week ban. But the Florida Supreme Court did something else yesterday. They approved for this November's ballot a constitutional amendment that is very clear. It says no law in the state of Florida can prohibit a woman from abortion services up until the point of viability, or if the health of the mother is in danger as determined by her physician. That's it. That is the language we have seen influence races throughout the country since the Dobbs decision. These voters that don't poll, that we don't know they're going to show up, and all of a sudden on election night they show up and they vote for reproductive freedom, but they also vote for Democrats. Debbie Powell yesterday had her race changed dramatically. She is absolutely competitive against Rick Scott now in November.
Wow, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, when a woman wins by 25 points in Alabama, I think
we
keep saying, I don't think people realize what's coming in November. That, as you probably know, because you have a wife, women don't get over anything ever.
Hey, I'd say that about my 5-year-old daughter.
Now, when you're governor and you announce that on the Stephanie Miller Show, you will enshrine women's rights, won't you, in the Florida state?
Yeah. Well, I think it could pass. Look, Florida has a 60% threshold. It might already be in the Constitution, but let's talk about that possibility, whether it's me or somebody else, because this is why this cycle and this issue matters so much.
Yeah.
So in 24, as I described, we will see how this state performs with abortion on the ballot and against Rick Scott. Yeah. Why that matters is there's a governor's race and 4 other statewide races in Florida in 26. It's an open seat for the governorship. If Debbie Powell pulls this out or even gets very close to Rick Scott, people like me and a lot of others will look at 26 and say, Florida is now competitive and we can bring it back from Republicans.
Do it, Florida, do it. Governor David Jolly. It's going to be you. It's you. Okay. Thanks, David. We'll see you in the summer with your Van Goghs.
Yes. Sounds good. Thanks, Stephanie. Good to be with you.
You too.